Hey there, this is Chris Cast, episode 38. My name's Chris Abraham. I don't know if I did an introduction or if I just kept yammering in the next segment. So I'm popping this in so that if there isn't an introduction to the segment or to this episode, I can pop this one in the front. This episode is about why it might be really lucky that Trump and the GOP lost the presidency in 2020. And that mostly has to do with the chance that the Black Lives Matter protests are yelling now include Biden being terrible. So basically, we hate Trump and we hate Biden. They all suck and we are riding. Trump is sucky, so is Biden. We want progressives. Come on, Wyden. I don't know. I'm making all those up. I think that they're much better ones that people were saying. So if it doesn't help, who's in office? And if an old white man is going to be target no matter who is in office. And if progressives don't assimilate Harris into the White House, then honestly, this is going to blow back against the Democrats too. There won't be any kind of appeasement. Any type of hugs and kisses, anything that could be remotely done that could appease Black Lives Matter or Antifa. So I can't say any number of terrible things about getting stuck in. I can say this. I can say that while Trump seems to have extracted himself from the tar pit, the La Brea tar pit, Biden and Harris might be willfully and wantonly walking in, and we'll see whether or not that's going to benefit the Democrats or not. We'll talk about that, and I'm going to really ramble about that after the break, because to be honest, I didn't write anything down, so I'm just rambling, okay? Talk to you soon. Good morning. It's Chris Cast, episode 38. This episode is about how Trump possibly dodged a bullet in losing this election. And the Democrats certainly dodged a bullet by winning this election. And even though I don't think that was their intention at all along, it quite possibly can go two ways in 2021 or even in December 2020. And either way, I believe that the Democrats and Biden and just generally the Democrats are more into doing the kind of things that they feel more empowered when they have an opportunity to recover an economy versus the Democrats that seem to thrive in a world where they can explode and rocket ship an economy. So, you know, a lot of the times I like watching when Republicans are accused of succeeding after Democrats have started success in motion. You know, like a lot of people say that Trump's rocket ship Wall Street success was directly on the coattails of an Obama recovery from the 2008 financial crisis. I'm not an investor. I'm not a Wall Street guy. I don't really live in the investment world, so that doesn't matter to me. The economy per se doesn't matter to me. It is good when there is high employment in the country, but it is bad when that employment is minimum wage. It is bad when there's low, when there's high unemployment, but it is not bad if there is a pathway towards that future employment being better, more appropriate, more future perfect, which is a declension more than what I was trying to say. But my point is that I think that we need a future of that could be more sustainable for more Americans. And just because there's a close to 100% employment rate before the coronavirus doesn't mean that most of those jobs were any good, or that most of those jobs weren't worse than the money the coronavirus grants, the coronavirus payments that were given to Americans. I mean, when Americans felt better remunerated by their coronavirus recovery money than they were by working 40, 60, 80-hour weeks in the jobs that they had. That, in other words, just $600 a week. That says a lot about our economy and about what being employed in America mostly means. So, I thought that maybe there could have been a little bit of shenanigans going on, that things were being painted by the media inappropriately dark in order to make sure that everybody knew that Trump was universally the Wicked Witch. And when the Wicked Witch dies, ding dong, the witch is dead. Anyway, let's see now if I play it, it might be a copyright thing, but ding dong, the witch is dead. Wicked old witch, wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. So that whole thing that everybody's saying. So Trump constantly complains, saying the China flu, the Wu flu, the plandemic is just a flu, and that the mainstream media is portraying it like this, using deaths that were already going to happen in America, making it look like COVID deaths in order to paint the Trump legacy as monstrous and dark. So, if that were true, and I'm not saying it was, it is, I'm not saying it is either way, because I don't personally know anybody who's sick or died from COVID, but you know, there's been hundreds of thousands of people who have died from COVID and millions who have been sick. Alexa, stop. Alexa, stop.
Reminding you.
Rude. Anyway, so presumably, after, you know, hundreds of thousands of people have died, millions of people have suffered and recovered, never to be the same that they were before, and hundreds of millions of Americans have been tested positive. If this were a plandemic or a hoax, the moment Biden was elected is the moment that this is all going to turn around, and it doesn't seem to be doing that. Still months and months away from a vaccine. Plus, nobody in the entire world wants the vaccine. I think the positivity about vaccines in America is only 43%, and I think it's only 60% worldwide. So that's going to be an uphill battle. And it doesn't seem to be turning around immediately. And open, you know, the flu is gone. Everybody open up your stores. Let's all party. Let's go to the gym. Let's go to restaurants. Let's go back to the bar. Let's have concerts. Let's have barn dances and so forth. It seems that the evil plandemic puppet masters aren't cutting the strings to their puppets and allowing them to be free. They're planning on canceling Thanksgiving. I can't say worldwide because Thanksgiving is an American thing. But Cuomo is planning to cancel Thanksgiving in New York. I mean, that's hyperbole, of course, but suggesting not more than 10 people, not after 10 o'clock, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying my Thanksgiving was canceled because my best friend David is going down to Florida for Thanksgiving with his brother and his family, but it might have been canceled. I sent an email to him saying, "Listen, I understand that your parents and your mother and father-in-law are both, aged, and your dad is sickly, and I don't want to be a part of that if you feel like my being there from dirty, dirty, dirty Virginia, going to Maryland would be, would put anybody in your family at risk." So I think it's all about us, each of us personally sacrificing. But I do believe that, oh my goodness, have I been just completely blabbing on? We'll see. I don't know if I stopped or not. It's always fun to cut things up. So anyway, it seems to me that if this were a narrative that all of a sudden stopped because it was a plandemic and a hoax designed to win the election, designed as a hearts and minds war against Trump so as to undermine him so badly that everybody thinks he at least is perceived as murdering a quarter million Americans in cold blood, something that could have been in whole cloth prevented by a Biden pregnant by a Biden pregnancy, by a Hillary Clinton, by a Hillary Clinton presidency. It's not, they're not telegraphing the fact that this, was all a ruse and that they're not collectively saying psych and opening the doors to a free and open society again. And, to be honest, neither is any place in the rest of the world. I mean, let's say this were a false flag event. It would be very complex to make sure that every single country on the earth, including countries that are our publicly sworn enemy or our competitor, as they say, or whatever Russia is now. They're not our enemy. They're not our competitor. They're our. Honestly, they're the brother we really can't stand. So, this is, we all know, this is what Republicans do very badly at. They're terrible at recovery. They're terrible at recovery. Historically and by trope, they say things like rub dirt in that wound, suck it up, buttercup. It's not as bad as you're saying it is, get over it, stiff upper lip and all those other kinds of things. I know the stiff upper lip might be British, but they're notoriously conservative as well as a country, even when they are voting Labour. So, I believe that Trump mostly dodged a bullet. I would say Trump dodged a bullet if Hillary Clinton won in 2016. But the coronavirus pandemic didn't happen until February, if not January. Of the of his last year, after years and years and years of being castigated and being endlessly accused of everything under the sun. I mean, so he got a good 3 years, I guess. It was all undone by the final year. That's fine. Many people believe that everything he did undid what Obama did. But Obama, because he was restricted, used mostly executive orders. But so they were easy to undo, and in which case Trump will be easy to undo by Biden, and it'll just go back and forth, back and forth. The only thing that Trump was able to do in his 4 years was install lots and lots and lots of conservative judges all throughout the federal system. The most important thing that Trump was able to do during his first or only term in office was I don't know. He did the same thing that 9/11 did to Americans, which is to get us to rally against evil. In the case of 9/11, we were rallying against the evil of foreign terrorism and the evil of foreigners who want to do bad by America. And Trump was the 9/11 of domestic, endemic, systemic racism, which is now the thing we will fight against for the next 4 to 8 years until it becomes either cured or it becomes the it, it goes out of fashion, because we all know things go in and out of fashion. But there's another reason why this might have been a good thing that Trump was able to avoid by not being reelected. A great way that the Republicans dodged a bullet. And I'll come to that after the break. Welcome back. I went and this is episode 38 of Chris Cast. I'm Chris Abraham. I went back and recorded an introduction. This is going to be a real mess. One thing I didn't mention, and I did mention in the retroactive introduction, was that there are still protests happening around, whether they're Black Lives Matter or whether they're like a Bitcoin fork or a code fork, where they start to. They continue, they grow organically, but they adopt different interests, such as workers' rights, such as immigration rights, such as unionization, such as universal basic income, such as minimum wage, all those kinds of things, women's rights, minority rights, LGBTQ plus rights, they're all fair game. They're all it's a wide tent of progressive of progression, of progressiveness. And one thing that's really interesting already, the Jodies, I'll call them Jodies, or the chants that are happening during a lot of these new protests now that Biden is the president-elect, are very much like, we hate Trumpy, yes we do, but we also hate Biden too. Or, we hate Trump, we hate Biden, come on baby, when we gonna be lied at, when we gonna, I don't know, but it's going to include the progressive arm of the or even the Marxist or socialist arm of the left is not going to be happy with a blue-eyed aviator wearing 78-year-old Delawarean neo-lib who has put people of color into jail because they were, quote unquote, unfixable. So, I mean, there's going to be a memory there. I mean, YouTube exists, and even though, while not Eidos, not an American descendant of slavery, Harris is definitely a biracial woman of both African and Indian South Asian extraction, which is freaking awesome and a beautiful thing in America to finally see. Even though all those things, she's still a prosecutor, a public prosecutor, and was and has put many people into California jail, and has put a lot of those people into jail based on three strikes and based on all kinds of other terrible anti-minority, very low, not dangerous drug charges, trumped up drug charges that differentiate crack from regular cocaine and other marijuana indictments and all kinds of things that now in 2020 do not look very good for her. If she were a white woman, this would be an entirely different conversation, but there is a little bit of slack because of her being an awesome gift to the American people. I mean, you can when when you she is definitely looking a gift horse in the mouth. So you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. You accept a gift horse with great appreciation. Because, at the end of the day, even if that is a sick horse or a bad horse or an old horse, because you can tell from the mouth, there's always, hey Google, how much does a horse weigh?
A horse that is adult weighs between 380 and 1,000 kilograms.
So between 840 and 220 pa 2,200 pounds, that's a lot of meat. So even though it's gamey, even if it's a gift horse that dies on you or is lame, you can always eat it or feed it to someone or something. So it's always a gift. In that case, I'm not comparing Kamala Harris to a horse. So many other politicians look like horses, but not Kamala. She's a very beautiful, energetic woman. I mean, I can't say anything bad about her. And you know what? Since I'm a social democrat, and since I believe that everybody deserves to have free K through postdoc education, and I believe that people should be able to live a an honest life on the dole if they need it, or I even believe in the German theory of making up jobs in order and making up and sharing jobs around in order to make people feel a personal level of ownership and pride. Like, I forgot what the term was. I think my buddy Mark mailed it to me or sent it to me. And it is, let's see. La 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 la. Here we are. Arbeitsbeschaffungsmaßnahmen, sehr gut. Arbeitsbeschaffungsmaßnahmen, Masnanamen. Arbeitsbeschaffungs. Masnamen. Arbeitsbeschaffungs. Masnamen. Arbeitsbeschaffungsmaßnahmen. There we are. I don't say it in a German accent because I can't manifest it now. But that means let's make up all the jobs we need in order to make everybody feel like they have a job. I mean, these are paid jobs. These are not the BS American, volunteerism. I think there should be no volunteers. I think there should be everybody should get a modicum of money for pay. Even rich people who volunteer should get paid for their work. If not, then I mean, it's just not fair. Anyway, so who knows? Biden might be walking into a trap, which is okay because, to be honest, Democrats love this stuff. They love the noble obligation. They love rushing in and saving the day. They love being saviors. They love being heroes. They love being the prince saving the princess from not only the bad, bad orange man, but also saving the princess from herself. And there's a lot of that going on in the Democratic Party, saving people from themselves. And that's a theme, I think, in all of my podcasts, which is there's a big amount of America that wants to be left alone. They want their guns, they want their Bibles, they want their churches, they want their magical realism, they want their Santa Claus, they want their diesels, they want their Cummins, they want their V8s. They want their two strokes. And, they want their beer guts, man. And they want their roadhouses. They want their toxic, they really want their toxic masculinity and toxic femininity as well. They're not proud of that. I mean, sorry, they are proud of that. And they want to be left alone to enjoy it without feeling embarrassed. And the secondary effect of all of this is going to be that people are going to be tired of being embarrassed, and then they're going to become shameless, just like Trump. And man, that country, I don't want to live in that country. Anyway, we'll come back and we'll close this off, and I'll talk to you soon. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Chris Abraham. This is Chris Cast, episode 38. This episode is a real ranty poo. People just want to be let be. I believe that there is a huge amount of paternalism. Instead of patriotism, maternalism, instead of matriotism, I believe that when ignorant conservatives say things like nanny states and communism and all this other stuff, what they're really saying is you're trying to force me to behave more like you, and not only am I incapable of it, but I'm not remotely interested. Think back, all you nerds who listen to me, to when your dad wanted you to play football or baseball or basketball, and you just wanted to nerd around on your shortwave radio or play D&D or program or geek out or read a book or and that kind of deal. Like your dad making you to have to do these things. I mean it might have enriched your life. Might have made your life better. It might have opened your eyes to new and other different things. But given your druthers after an enriching, K through 12 and possibly through college, you could always return to the things that turned you on. You might have picked up basketball or running or soccer or something like that on your own in order to keep healthy with an athletic life. But you get to make your own decisions. And this I don't see the conservatives trying to impose their way of life on other people, like I see the Democrats trying to impose their way of life on other people. And I dare say that the crackers and honkies of this country feel like the Democrats won't be happy until every single cracker and whitey and honky has been converted to, I guess, a humanist. I don't know. I guess a humanist, right? I believe that that's a cultural revolution, right? Is that well, it'd be interesting to see an intellectual cultural revolution as opposed to an anti-intellectual cu cultural revolution. I do believe every child should be as thoroughly well educated as they can be, but I really think that they should only be thoroughly educated based on neutral things, not on biased things. It shouldn't be programming. However, I'm not naive enough to believe that culture isn't programming, right? I mean, television is programming. Everybody calls it programming. Applications are programming. They even call it programming. So everything's programming. Doing my best Oprah voice. Here's programming. Here's programming. Here's programming. I'm not going to do an Oprah voice because I do not have an Oprah voice and I do not want to step into that morass. I just think that they want to be alone. I know that in their narrative for civil war, it's always going to be in response to being attacked by the left, physically, by literally people going door to door and saying, "Give me that gun. Give me that gun." And although I've never seen it really happen, I do know that people have sheriffs come to their door all the time to get that gun and for for very good reasons, right? For the fact that you've been put on a list because of a domestic abuse or any of those things when you apply for a firearm that you sign off on the check boxes, right? For example, you can't be a pothead in America and own a gun. Isn't that interesting? You can't be addicted to any type of anything and own a gun according to the background check. Which is funny because I don't know if that includes alcohol or if how it's interpreted, but it asks you if you use any foreign substances such as, marijuana, coke, et cetera, these kinds of things and opiates, etc. And if you lie to that, they can take if you lie about that, they can take your gun away. So I guess that if you own a gun legally and if you get arrested for holding, arrested for selling, also getting a I know this is not about guns, but getting a felony, it also you lose your legal right to own a firearm. So there are people taking guns, but it's usually in response to these kinds of legal shenanigans that are perfectly lawful to me. But I understand why nobody feels like there should be any limit on their ability to own guns because gun owning, according to the Constitution, is a God-given right. And rights are not given by the Constitution, they are protected. And rights are given by Sky Daddy, right? Since there's no God, right? Only science. God-given rights are given by Santa Claus and Sky Daddy, which is extremely offensive to a lot of people. So you've got to understand both sides, both sides, both sides, both sidesism. Anyway, I guess this wasn't closing. I guess the next one will be closing. Ay vey. Okay, well, here we are, closing out episode 38. Long, 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 long rant. Yada, yada, bada, 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 bing. My name's Chris Abraham, Chris Cast. Can reach me at Chris Abraham on LinkedIn. Pardon me. LinkedIn.com/in/Chris Abraham. Can reach me at Chris Abraham on YouTube, at Chris Abraham on Twitter, at Chris Abraham at Instagram. Facebook.com/Chris Abraham, Chris at Abraham.su. Abraham.su goes to ChrisAbraham.com, which is my HQ. Most everything about me is in there. I just realized the other day that while my CV has everything, it does not have where I was educated, so I need to add that. Thank you for reminding me. You can text me at +1 202 352 5051. That's also my WhatsApp number. And you can call me at that number, but I won't pick it up unless I recognize your name. Or we have a date scheduled, and that date scheduling can happen through Calendly.com slash Chris Abraham slash 1530, whatever. Pardon me. Take a sip of coffee. Too much talking to myself. Amen. And I'm at Chris on No Agenda Social. I'm happy you're here. If you like this podcast, or if you just find it amazing that it exists and it loops your head around, you can feel free to like, star, comment, review anywhere you get it. Let people know about it by sharing it out and about. And like I said, please email me, Chris at Abraham.su. I would love to chat with you and see if there's any ideas you have for my next podcast, ramble, rant, etc. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.